Good morning, everyone. And yes, I am planning to have a Father's Day message, so happy Father's Day to everybody. I was truly blessed to have a godly father in my life that taught me and raised me to live for the Lord and taught me in scripture, taught me how to work, and all those good things in life. And I am truly blessed because of that. And thank the Lord, I'm blessed that I am a dad as well today to my four children, and I am extremely blessed because of them. And I'm sure each one of you that are fathers here today that have children are extremely blessed people, right? Fathers and mothers is a blessing that God has given to us. And if you're not a father yet, or you're a young man, then you can look forward to that day. Maybe God will call you to be a father someday. It is a tremendous blessing. Yesterday, it kind of reminded me of fathers and children. There was a creek that goes through a farm there that got restored, and they planted a bunch of trees beside it. And they're young trees, about, I don't know, 5 years ago it was now already, they've been planted. And you got to keep nurturing them and taking care of them or they won't live, right? And so a little seedling, about maybe like that tall, is planted, and they put a tree tube there. And they put a stake on that tree tube, and you tie the tube to the stake, and you watch that little tree seedling grow every year. You know, the first year, second year, it might get up a third of the way through the tube, and a couple years later, it's getting, and then now they're starting to come across out of the tubes and popping up out of the tubes. And you know, any type of windstorm that comes along blows hard on those tubes and rattles them, and the stakes can snap off, or the string or the wire ties that are tied to stake to the tubes can come off. And a lot of different things can happen. They can fall over, or, you know, moles can get in there and they can eat at the young tree, the roots, and kill it. There's just a lot of things you have to take care of a small tree for it to survive. And so yesterday, me, Braden, and Chase were over there going through all the little ones and fixing them back up. We had a lot of wind this last week, and I noticed a bunch of them were falling over again. And so, yeah, we were over there fixing them. It just kind of reminded me of Father's Day and children and how children take nurture and care, right? And as a young child is growing and getting older, and maybe they're nearing becoming a teenager and they're popping out of their tree tube and becoming their own, right? And, you know, all those things, they take care and nurture, and it takes work, but it's rewarding work. And as I was working with my boys yesterday and putting new stakes in where new stakes were needed and new ties and new tubes and all those things, and it just reminds us of fatherhood and childhood and the nurturing and care it all takes. And so there was a similarity there that struck me as we were working on those young trees. And someday those young boys will grow up and be big, strong trees, right? Planted by the living waters, living for God. So a great example of growth and how we can become strong men and keep on from generation to generation, keep it going. So yeah, I enjoyed our Sunday school lesson. Thank you, Glenn, for leading out. We were going over there and you said you like to joke a lot, or some. And I said, you know, laughter is good medicine, right? And so we need to be lighthearted some. And so I was thinking about Father's Day, and I have a couple of sayings here I came across that may be lighthearted moments for fathers. It is said that when a child is happy and laughing, they belong to dad, right? But when they have a sagging diaper with a strong smell, they belong to mom. When I was a teenager, my dad was ignorant and outdated. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in a couple years. Remember, what dad really needs is a nap. The older I get, the smarter my dad seems to get. And I just taught my child about taxes by eating 38% of their ice cream. The dad tax. Yeah, there's just a few funny things as we get started into our message here this morning. I was trying to think of an example in the Bible today of who to go to, and my mind went to Abraham. And Abraham is considered the father to many nations, right? And God had richly blessed him. And before we even get into his story is in Genesis there, but you can turn to James chapter 2, see what James here talks about Abraham. James chapter 2, where we start at verse 17. And I'll read verses 17 to 26. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without my works, and I will show ye my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. Even the devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon an altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone. Likewise also was Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And so as we go and look into Abraham's life here, we can see what James brought out. And Abraham, and he was made righteous by his faith and by his works, by his obedience to the calling that God had upon his life. Was Abraham a perfect man? No. We'll as we study here, we'll easily see that. No, he wasn't a perfect man. He made mistakes. But he listened to God. He obeyed him. And the calling that God had on his life, he obeyed. And he did it. And so therefore, he was righteous. He obeyed God. And so, yeah, let's look here. Genesis, the story of Abraham is found in the book of Genesis. You can turn there to Genesis chapter 12. It's Genesis 12 to 25. And I'm not sure, Stan, did you talk a lot about Abraham when you were going through the Bible? I couldn't remember.
It's been a while ago, but yeah.
Yeah, and so I was like, oh, maybe I'll double up on some of his there sayings, but I couldn't remember anymore, and I'm sure we all need reminded too. Sorry if I do double up. But as we dwell, I'm just going to quickly go through these chapters, not spend a lot of time here, just some of the highlights I kind of underlined. And so I'm just going to read a couple verses and you can just follow along with me. But we can see here that Abraham was 75 years old when God called him to leave his home and go to Canaan. And so I guess before we even get started, how many of you would be willing to move at 75 years old and go to a different country? If you were rooted and grounded at 75 years old and where you lived, and God came and told you to go move, and I'm going to make you a great nation. That's quite the test that Abraham had. Even though Abraham did live another 100 years, but still at that age, and being rooted and grounded where he was at. So yeah, let's start there in chapter 12, and I'll read the first couple verses there. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, his nephew, and all their substance, everything that they had. They gathered it, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and to the land of Canaan they came. And so there we can see that God called him, and he listened, and he obeyed. And then we go there to verse 10, where Abram goes to Egypt. And about that time, there was a famine in the land. And so they had to go into Egypt. And so here's another test. Do you think Abraham could have gotten angry at God and said, why did you take me here? Now there's a famine and there's not enough of food to eat. So they were forced to go into Egypt because of this famine. And so here maybe was the first mistake that Abraham made. He said, my wife is beautiful, and I'm afraid the king, the Pharaoh, is going to want my wife, or the people at Egypt are going to want to take my wife and kill me. And so what did Abraham do? He lied and he told Sarah and told everyone that Sarah, his wife, was his sister. And so he told them Sarah was his sister instead of his wife. And so as they went into Egypt, of course, someone went to Pharaoh and said, here's this beautiful woman that you should take into your kingdom. And so Pharaoh took Sarah into with her, and then the Lord brought plagues upon Pharaoh and his house there in verse 17, chapter 12. And yeah, they had great plagues. And then verse 18, Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is it that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? And then we go there to chapter 13, Abram and Lot. Lot, his nephew, would have been with him. And here we can see in verse 2 that Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And Lot, in verse 5, and Lot also was very rich, and had Lot, and they had flocks and herds and lots of tents and lots of belongings. And in verse 6 there it says, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled there in the land. Verse 8, and Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like unto the land of Egypt, that thou comest unto Zoar. And then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separate from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And so there we can see that another intriguing part about Abraham that we'll look at, that he allowed, even though he was promised by God all this land where he's going, he could have easily went to Lot and said, you know what, God promised me this. I'm going to pick where I want to go. God brought me here. It's my choice. Lot, you're going to be left with what's available. But what did Abraham do? He let Lot pick where he wants to take his animals and where he wants to set up. And Lot picked what looked like was the nicest place, right? So maybe if it, me and you are deciding today, if you could pick between a farm that's lush and green in the valley that grows lots of good fruit and crops for your animals and they have lots of water, or would you pick a mountaintop that's dry and barren? What would you pick, right? And so Lot picked the place that looked the best, that would be the best for his animals. And Abraham was content to go with what was left. That's a challenge to me as a father today. Do I give up my best? Am I willing to give up what I think is best? Abraham put Lot first, not himself. So let's go to chapter 15. Here we can see God, again, promises his covenant with Abram. Verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And so here we can see that, again, God reminded Abraham of this covenant that he's making with him. And so there in verse 4, if you go down there, it says maybe like a childish man back in those days could, if a man did not have a son, he could adopt one of his servants to be his heir and guardian of his estate. So Abraham didn't have any children, so he could have easily taken one of his manservants, one of his people that worked for him, and kind of adopted him to be his very own son to take over his take over whatever he has. And God wanted to make it clear to him that your son, that your heir is going to come from thine own bowels. You will have your very own son. In verse 5, he says, now look now towards heaven and the stars, that thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And so when you think about the stars, more than 8,000 stars are in the eastern hemisphere. And so God promises Abraham here that so shall thy seed be. It was a covenant that he made with him. And it says there in verse 6 that Abram believed in the Lord and he counted it for him for righteousness. Go to chapter 16. The next phase here in Abram's life is Hagar and Ishmael. Here's the second mistake, maybe you could say, in Abraham's life. We all know the story of how Sarah, Abram's wife, they did not have no children. And so maybe they could say here they took matters into their own hands. Maybe here's the first sign that they didn't fully trust God. And they said, we are getting old. We have no children. And they took matters into their own hands. And Sarah gave one of her servants to Abraham to be his wife. Her name was Hagar. And they had a son named Ishmael. And then we can see there in verse 4, that they had a son, and when she saw that this son was born, her mistress there was despised in her eyes. So Sarah got angry then. She can see that Sarah made a mistake, right? And she got upset, and she got mad at Hagar. And in verse 5, Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes, and the Lord judge me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thine hand, do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dwelt hardly with her, she fled from her face. In verse 7, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. In verse 9, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man. And in verse 16 there it says, Abraham was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. And so that would have put him at 86 years old. So he left at 75 years old. He left in their journey. And so 11 years later, after they left on this journey, Ishmael was born. And so we can see the promise that God made to Hagar here as she ran for her life and fled into the wilderness, that the angel came and ministered unto her and promised her protection. There, verse, and now going to chapter 17, we can see the covenant of circumcision. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make thy covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God and God talked with him, saying, in verse 4 there, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. And neither shall thy name any more be Abram, but thy name shall be now called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations. So here we can see God remained faithful. God once again came to Abraham, again to Abram, changed his name to Abraham, and once again was faithful to Abraham and said of his promise to him. Even though Abraham failed and made a mistake, God was still faithful to him. And then verse 15, and God said unto Abraham, and for Sarah thy wife, and should her name went from Sarai to Sarah. And verse 16, and I will bless her and give thee a son. And verse 17, and Abram fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and to Sarah that is 90 years old. Like, how are we going to have any children at this age? And once again, there in chapter 18, it talks about the three visitors. Angels came to Sarah there in verse 12. And there it says also that Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, before thee. And I'm this old, how am I going to have children now? But then verse 14 there, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? In chapter 19, we can see that Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed. We're not going to get into that. And then jump to chapter 21. And then we can see that the birth of Isaac, and Abraham was 100 years old. Verse 8 of chapter 21, and the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah had said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. So there we can see the birth of Isaac. And as Isaac was growing older, we can see that Ishmael maybe made fun of him one time, and it upset Sarah, and Sarah commanded Abraham to send them off. And so Abraham sent Hagar and Ishmael away. And then go to chapter 22, God tests Abraham, and we all know the story about how God called Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar, and they went up into the land of Moriah, the Mount of Moriah, and there to give Isaac for a burnt sacrifice. And, you know, here's kind of a test that God was testing Abraham. And we see Abraham's obedience and how God made a way, and how he gave a ram in the thicket there to be sacrificed instead of Isaac. In chapter 23, we see the death of Sarah. And then chapter 25, we see the death of Abraham. And then Abraham, after Sarah died, Abraham would actually remarry a lady named Keturah there in chapter 25, and he would have had 6 more sons: Zimran, Jokshan, Medom, Midian, Ishbak, and Shuah, if I pronounce those correctly. Might have. But they're in chapter 25, verse 2. You can see the names of his six other sons that he had. And verse 5 there, chapter 25, Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. And then verse 7, we can see that Abraham died and he was 175 years old. And so that's just a quick rundown of Abraham and what all happened in his life there. And, you know, I had to think about the difference between Isaac and Ishmael today. And, you know, Isaac is the Jewish, the people of Israel, right? And his heritage and is believed to be approximately 15 million people today in that line of Isaac. 85% of them either live in Israel or the U.S. today. King David and Jesus are descendants of Isaac. Looking at Ishmael, that's the Arabians, the Arabs. Most of them live in the Middle East or North Africa, Egypt, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Syria, a bunch of other different countries. Some live in U.S., Brazil, Europe, Australia. And it's believed to be around 400 to 420 million people that come from Ishmael's line. And 93% of them are believed to be Muslim, and only 7% are Christian. And so you see those two drastic differences between his two sons. And one was where they took matters into their own hands, and the other one, they listened to God. And you can see the difference. So let's be obedient to God's calling in our lives. Let's not take matters into our own hands. We as men can be quick to do that, right? We kind of run out of patience some days. And we try and do things our own way. But that's follow the calling of God's life. I'd like to, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 4. I'll read verses 1 to 9. Talking about wisdom here. The command of wisdom. And so as fathers and children, we are commanded to teach wisdom. So just listen, I'm not going to say a whole lot about this, but just listen to the words. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake you not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of thy mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, exalt wisdom, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. When thou doest embrace her, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. So we see what wisdom does. And so what? How do we gain wisdom? Go back to verse 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. And verse 2, forsake not my law. And so as fathers, we are not to forsake the law of the Bible, not forsake the law of God, not forsake the Bible. And children, listen to your father, listen to the instruction of your father, and you will gain wisdom. You ever hear of a father's 5 to 9? You ever hear of a father's 5 to 9? It had nothing to do with work hours, right? So a father, I guess the common hours of going to work in the world, or maybe 9 to 5, right? Maybe sometimes people call those banker hours, go to work from 9 to 5. Some people might go to work earlier or work later, right? But then a father's 5 to 9 is the opposite of that 9 to 5, right? So what the father's, a father's 5 to 9. So go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. What is a father's 5 to 9? What is a father's time from when he gets home from work until he goes to work the next morning? This is what we should be doing. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 to 7. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So that's 24/7, right? That is the 5 to 9, that we should be teaching our children the ways of the Lord. 7 days a week, we should be teaching our children the ways of the Lord. You know, there, as a father, there is joy in fatherhood, right? There's joy in raising up children. It is an honor. It is unconditional love. There's security there in a father to a child. There's fun, playful times there. There is sacrificial there. You to think of, I came across as I was studying the three P's of fatherhood. Anyone want to venture to guess what the three P's of fatherhood are? Provide, protect, and presence. You know, when I think about providing, and you think about sacrificial time, you think about a man going to work and meeting the needs of his wife and his children at home. And you think about Christian education. You know, you think about our school taxes. If you're in a property today, you got to pay school taxes. And then we like to send our children to Christian education. So maybe you could think of that as it costs double, right? Christian education costs double, but it is definitely worth it. Protect. Protection, you can think of physical protection. A father watches over his children that they don't physically get hurt, and also spiritual protection. Protection from this world and from the devil. And presence, time spent with them. It could probably often be said that outside of teaching and nurturing your children for the Lord, the most important thing is spending time with them. I don't think you ever heard someone, a man on his deathbed, say, "Oh, I wish I would have worked more," right? But you sometimes hear or have heard it already that they wish they would have spent more time with their family, more time with their children. Quality family time is extremely important. What a blessing it is to be a father and mother to our children. There is joy when a father teaches his children wisdom and they apply it to their lives, but there also can be sorrow if the father doesn't teach or the children don't listen. The best way to teach our children is to listen, to obey. Because when we listen and obey our Heavenly Father, it makes it so much easier for our children to obey and listen to us. You know, God has a different calling for each one of us. Are we listening to that call in our lives? Are we obeying it? Do we have patience in obeying it? And is our faith and our trust in the Lord? In conclusion, I'd like to read Romans chapter 12 yet. I won't make any comments on that, but it's very self-explanatory. And as fathers, I think if we live this out here in Romans 12, It'll do more than enough in passing it on. It talks about our Christian conduct. If we want to be godly fathers and pass it on to our children, Romans 12 here, boy, it dots all the I's and crosses all the T's. And so I'm going to read this in closing. My challenge to you is read this chapter multiple times this week and install it into your mind and into your heart. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, though, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members having not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dear beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for the blessing that you've called to fathers and how you have ordained fathers and mothers and children and how we reproduce here in life, Father. We just thank you for that ordinance that you have given to us, Father. Father, just bless each father that's here this morning. May you just give him wisdom as he leads his family, Father, as he leads his wife and his children, Father. Just go before him and open doors and shut doors for his life, Father. May you just pour out a special blessing upon him. Help us as fathers apply wisdom in Scripture to our lives and to pass it on to the next generation, Father. Help us to raise up generations and generations to come that are godly young men and women that are willing to serve you, Father. Father, we thank you for the examples you give to us in Scripture and for Abraham's life and how he was faithful to you and obeyed you, Father, and for the book of Proverbs and for wisdom that comes from you that we can teach to the next generation. Father, thank you for giving us good Christian conduct on how we should live. Father, give us a desire and ambition to follow your word and to live for it, Father. Father, once again, bless our time here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.